I like that. The track is called Ain't Got No Friends. It's by Connor Maynard, and I'm sure that's probably the reason why he's agreed to talk to me this morning, because he's got nothing else to do. I'm sure that's not true. Connor, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
For those who don't know, I mean, let me just roughly get the numbers right. You're about 29, 30 years old, is that right? Born in 1992?
I'm 28 right now.
Oh, for goodness. And you started out in the game back in 2011, so you're already in this for 10 years. So since you're 18 then.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
You were one of really the first people to take YouTube and make it into a music channel. You started on YouTube in 2006 at a time when everybody else was going, "Oh, I've got my MySpace account. So yeah, come see me on my." What made you break away from the pack?
I don't really know. It was kind of like, there definitely wasn't some like master plan behind it. It literally was just like, it was a hobby. And I think I actually originally started by posting my videos on Facebook. And I remember, like, obviously Facebook, at least back then, was limited to like your close friends and family, whatever. So I was getting a lot of feedback from them on like kind of little things I was posting. And I remember thinking to myself, like, oh, I kind of want to know what like people that I don't know would think, because for all I know, all my friends found it like, yeah, Connor, it's really good. Like, well done. Like, you know, and little do I know is that maybe like if someone, you know, in the middle of nowhere hears it and goes, what is this guy doing? He needs to like give up now. So I was like, I want to put it on, you know, utilize YouTube in a way that where basically I get feedback from people that I don't know. And that was the initial reason for doing it. And then I think for about a year, it was kind of just, you know, it wasn't getting many views at all. It was just very, it was very, very kind of minimal. And then all of a sudden, like one video changed everything, and then it just started building from there. So.
And it really has grown, hasn't it? I'm just looking at the stats on you now. Currently, you're sitting on Facebook with 12.3 million subscribers to your 273 videos. That's an awful lot of work you've put in. And you scroll through, you know, your cover of Tate McRae, You Broke Me First, 1.1 million views. Olivia Rodrigo, Driver's License, you covered that, 5.7 million views. Tate McRae, You Broke Me First, 56 million views. That brings you to the attention of people, doesn't it? When you've got that number of subscribers and that number of views.
Yeah, 100%. I think that, you know, with YouTube, it is kind of... I remember like back when I hit a million, and that was like, whoa, like hitting a million subscribers was such a substantial feat back then. And I feel like now it's kind of like, unless you've got 10 million, like people are like, oh, whatever. Like, oh, so, like you've got like 2 million. But also you're just starting out, right? And it's like, wait, what? Like 2 million is amazing, though. But no, yeah, obviously to have, I think it's like 12.3 million subscribers on YouTube now is crazy. And I think that it's definitely kind of my biggest platform that I utilize. So I that's kind of why I kind of use it to, kind of at the forefront of any release. I'll always kind of make sure the music video is there and that kind of thing. So I like to promote a lot of myself mainly on YouTube.
And when you're doing that, when you're doing covers of other people's songs, 12.3 million subscribers, those original artists, is that how they pick up on, hang on a minute, who's this guy? Because you've collaborated with so many people, haven't you? Neo became your mentor.
Yeah, so it happens sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. Like I've had a lot of artists that have noticed it and will say something, and others that don't. And it kind of just random. But yeah, Neo. The connection with Neo was purely because he saw one of the covers that I did. Well, I think I was probably about 16 or 17 or something. And it's quite hilarious because it means he was definitely searching for himself at the time. He saw my cover and his team reached out and that was how that connection was built. And I think I recently released a song with Alan Walker, who's obviously a huge DJ. And that was purely because I covered one of his songs, Faded, a few years ago, and he saw that. And so sometimes it literally ends up in me collaborating with that artist. So
and that must lead you to be able to try out a whole range of musical styles. And the whole thing about doing covers anyway is you can kind of pick and choose and you can do your take on things, or you can do quite a faithful rendition, can't you?
I think for me personally, the way I kind of choose my covers and the way that I put them out is I will usually just choose a song if I really, really like it. I won't be too strategic with it. If I really, really like a song, I'll cover it. And also, I try to only cover songs where the original artist sounds like so far away from me, so that when I release my version, it's a totally different version. I normally won't I won't often cover like male like solo artists. I'll usually do people that their voice just sounds like completely different, so you can really kind of know the difference.
Okay. So where does this lead you now, though? You're now writing your own songs. You're producing your own stuff. Are you going to run the two sort of parallel? Are you still going to continue to do the covers, or are you going to start and ramp those back and ramp up your own music?
I mean, that's genuinely a question I ask myself all the time. Like I feel like it's hard with covers because they are such a useful tool to kind of, you know, self promote and also to kind of keep yourself, you know, in the public eye when maybe you're not releasing so much original material. But at the same time, they can often kind of maybe slightly pigeonhole you, make you, make people think, oh, so he's a cover artist. It's like, well no, I do covers, but obviously I also have original music. And it's kind of that battle of like, where's the line, where does it become too much? And I think that's why when I'm like releasing original music, I kind of lay off the covers a little bit, and I'll go through a phase of only releasing original music to kind of remind people that is like the main thing that I do. But when I have a bit of downtime, when I haven't really got an original song to promote slash to release, I'll do some covers to kind of I don't know, keep putting content out, basically.
So, what do your parents think of this? Because you were 18 when you started, and you know, here you are. It is a heck of a career with a heck of a following. What did they make of it?
I stopped talking to them when I got famous. No, I'm joking. They think it's crazy. I remember my mum always kind of finds it funny because when she kind of took me around to all the college induction days when I was like, I think maybe like 16. I was saying I wanted to study music tech because I hadn't actually studied music up until that point. It was only when I turned about 16 that I really wanted to study music tech. And they were asking, oh, why? Like, do you want to work in a studio? Like, you know, an engineer in a studio? And I was like, oh, no, I want to be a singer. And my mum used to like nudge me, like, stop saying that, you sound like an idiot. Like, it's never going to happen, Connor. Like, we're just a regular family from Brighton. Like, just shut up, don't think. So like, she would kind of, like, be like, oh, you know, stop saying that because people aren't going to take you seriously. And I was like, oh, okay. But then, obviously, it kind of happened. So it was quite funny. And they obviously were super proud and very, very supportive the whole time.
Fantastic. But what advice, I mean, it was all a lot newer back then. In 2006, you were in that vanguard. You know, nowadays, there's a heck of a lot of competition, a lot of people vying. Good for you. It's great for you because you're kind of there and you're ahead of the pack and you've got your subscriber. People know who you are. What advice would you give to people, you know, to kids of your age then, now?
It is super difficult, and I think that it, and also kind of the nature of the online space now is that it just moves so fast. There's always like, there's always a new person, there's always a new like style of content, and there's even a new platform. I feel like people weren't like massively aware of TikTok before, like a year and a half.
Sure.
Now it's kind of one of you know, the leading platforms, and I think that, I don't know, it's just finding something that's unique, finding something that you can offer to viewers, whatever that I guess no one else can. And I think, as I said, like my kind of, I guess, niche was kind of doing these covers, but like completely switching them up, like really, really making it so it was a completely different listening experience. It wasn't just like, oh, and here's me singing that exact song exactly how it was. I kind of was like, no, I want to make it, even if it's a really big upbeat song, all right, cool, I'll make it completely down tempo and much slower. And I think it's just finding a unique way of doing it. Like, there's a singer, his name's Nick D. I think he's based over in the States, and he promotes his music, but like, and it was quite a strange way. He was on TikTok and it's just him singing the song, which was great, but then he would sing the song and then he had this like thing in his hand, he threw it over his shoulder and it goes into like a basketball hoop behind him, and it was just really impressive. And it was like, oh wait, how did he just do that? And then like that blew the video up, which in turn blew the song up. So it was like, that was a super weird way of promoting his music, but it works. So I think it's just, it's finding, I don't know, like a unique little spin on content. It's getting harder and harder because there's so many people doing it, but there's always something new you can do.
But of course, you're forgetting, you do also need a little bit of talent, and you seem to have it by the bucketful, and it's doing you proud. Listen, Connor, it's been great to meet you. I'm really interested to see where this goes. It's a career that, you know, it's been a third of your life already. So it's just
I know.
Going to be really fascinating to see where it goes. Thanks ever so much for talking to us today.
Thanks so much. Thank you for having me.